This is Wine, Women, and Revolution with your host, Heather Warburton, coming at you here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. Hi, and welcome to Wine, Women, and Revolution. I'm your host, Heather Warburton, coming here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. And I've got another good friend of mine that I'm interviewing here today. His name is Henry Green. He also came out of the Green Party with me. And welcome to the show, Henry.
Welcome. Thank you for having me, Heather.
So you've been busy with a lot of stuff. You showed up at one of the Atlantic County Green Party meetings and was like, you know, I'm going to run for mayor in Atlantic City. Which was awesome. We were so excited to get you on the ballot line. What made you decide you were going to run for mayor in Atlantic City?
Well, I thought it was status quo politics. I was a lifelong Democrat, and not seeing the opportunities for other folks, it was to participate in the process. You know, it was all established, and you heard about South Jersey politics and things like that before. It's not the first time, but to break in into these groups and things like that, you have to be picked, and it's not about your about what you stand for and what you're trying to bring to your communities, and what type of education you have or what type of background or how you want to, you know what I mean, translate that to resources for your community. It's not about those particular things, and I was just tired of watching the same thing repeat itself for the last 10-12 years. And at that moment, I decided there needs to be another option for the people in the community to vote for. We can't just continue to give them the same two groups of people, Republicans, Democrats, and basically they both serve the same service to the community. They serve the business. They serve the political bosses. They serve themselves. And I wanted to give them the option of someone else that was going to come and represent the people of the community and try to bring resources and things that them first, people over politics, people over anything besides themselves benefiting. Let's decide to help the people of Atlantic City first and things like that.
And you're from the community in Atlantic City. Like, there's not these people coming in from outside of the community and saying, oh, we're going to do this for you, we're going to do that for you. You were born and raised in Atlantic City, so you know the community in Atlantic City.
Yes, well, a lot of the other folks that have been running know the community too, but they're failing to work towards developing this. They're waiting for someone else from the outside or someone else to tell them what to do and what not to do. Most people are taking advantage of the process as it is and how it's benefited for self. And Atlantic City politics is a hustle, basically. New Jersey politics is a hustle. It's like the streets. I'm from the streets. I know the streets. I know a hustle when I see a hustle. You know what I mean? But you could take a hustle and do great things with it. You know, you don't have to hustle your people for real. You can hustle the system. You can hustle the system and make sure that they provide the things that the law says it provides for them. But instead, what happens is many people take advantage of all the millions of dollars that they put in the city that we're not representing and taking that we're not using. They're taking it and using it and getting it for themselves instead of applying it to the city. Atlantic City have millions and millions of dollars school system in its regular budget. Most cities would love to have the budget that Atlantic City have. Most cities would love to have a school budget that Atlantic City has. People are making a lot of different money, but it's not serving the public and reaching the people at the bottom. Look at the school system itself. So much money that it makes, and we're at the bottom with our children, especially from all the schools on the north side, you know, New Jersey, Uptown, New York. West Side, those schools, Pennsylvania, those schools are struggling. It's too much money floating through that city. So they, you know, the first thing that I hear that people want to talk about, that the parents are the problem. Okay, you might have a point that there's an issue with our parents. So where's the plan to deal with that problem then?
Right, but really people are just seeing Atlantic City as a piggy bank that they can pull money out of and never actually change the circumstances in Atlantic City.
And we have the certain select few people that are benefiting from it are allowing it to go on and just coming in and getting their money and watching it, as you know, and as long as I get mine, I'm not worried about the rest of it. And, you know.
So you have a very different, you're all about the community.
I'm all about the community. But I don't get me wrong. I think that I should be paid and compensated for the work and the things that I believe in that I do. I truly believe that. I wish that could be my job every day, that I'm working and fighting and making sure that we're getting the resources every day. That's why I strive to try to get these positions. I want to be paid to do this particular work, even though I'm doing it for free every day. I've taken the burden and the brunt from standing up and voicing my opinion. You know, I've been lost and been fired 2-3 times for the city of Atlantic City. Still fighting cases right now, still fighting workers' comp, still having lawyers that are in cahoots and doctors are in cahoots. That game is for real. This politics thing is worse than the streets. It is serious business.
That it is. That it is.
It is.
It's sad, too, you know, that someone with the passion that you have is not able to do this. Like, I can just imagine what the community would look like.
Well, the people,
if you were able to do this 24/7.
The people don't have a problem with it. It's the people who are benefiting from it right now that see my angle, my position, and they feel threatened. I'm a threat. My voice and the things that I say for those people that are stealing and taking that money and going home every day and not worrying about those things and not having to stand up. Some people say, I got to take care of my family, so I'm going to look the other way. Yeah, I know that's wrong, but I'm going to look the other way. But sometimes we say that the
right, you've got to pay the bills,
And I'm talking about black folks in our community. And we say to white folks, you know what I mean, you got to speak out when you see racism. And you got to speak out. We want to hold you accountable for not speaking out and things like that. Well, black folks, we have to hold each other accountable. You just can't come in and get money and get paid and watch them, you know what I mean, tear down your whole community. And you get to move off of the island and it's all right for everyone else who can't.
We've all got to take care of each other. We really do.
So, you know, with me, a lot of folks, you know, oh, it's an angle. You. There's no angle. This is who I am.
No, Henry, I will. I know, Henry, this is not an angle. This is 100% who you are. And that's why I respect and appreciate you so much, all the work that you're doing.
Well, as much as I speak out and things like that, everyone's looking for the chance to say, I'm waiting for you to mess up.
Uh-huh.
I'm waiting for you to do something, or you're not perfect, or you do this, or you do that, or I'm walking my walk and talking my talk as I am. I will not change for nobody who I am. It doesn't change my character, my personality, who I am. You know what I mean? Why can't I be who I am and still speak about the things that I believe in passionately and truthfully as I see it?
You should. That's just bottom line.
But you that's the first thing we would hear. But me what?
Right.
I'm a flawed man.
Right, we're all flawed.
I'm a flawed man. I'm a product of my community. Believe me, I'm a product of everything that happens in our community. I'm a product of it. So it's not like I'm belittling and talking down on folks or pointing fingers at folks. You know, I'm saying out of passion and love for how hurtful it is to see us in this position, to see our children, to see the poverty, to see all of these things happen right before our eyes and knowing it could be better, to be in other cities and see cities grow and work together to build themselves up, to, you know, to make sure that their children are top of the line. Most cities don't have the resources we have, believe it or not. We act like we don't have no resources around here.
But Atlantic City is a massive profit center, you know. There's money flowing through Atlantic City, and it's just not getting to the right people.
No, it never gets to the right people. They have people training people in the community that say they want training programs from these different companies that are coming in the city, and they're saying, yeah, we're going to come in, we're going to train people, we're going to do that. Then you give them a half-assed training program with no results at the end of the programs, no career jobs, no certificates, no union representation. You know, if you got a career jobs and training for carpentry or electronics or anything like that, you want to really take care of your people, because right now the problem is economic wealth. You don't want to give them a job and they go through training and still make $12 an hour. You want them to get the going rate, $32.50.
Wow, yeah.
You know, what's the 30? You want them in the union to get the same money that the people from outside are coming in here getting those same construction contracts. These are the way that we got to build the economics up of our community. We can't keep providing them service industry jobs.
Right, no one can live on that.
You know, yes.
And if your material needs aren't met, you can't be a voice. You know, you can't express what you see in your community that you need to change, because you're just, you know, hustling constantly to make ends meet.
Ends meet. The economics around here, these casinos, is not doing the people in the community no justice. You want to train people something, let's train them for like Koreans are doing. Let's get some coding going on right now and make some experts in this computers and technology and some software industry. All right, the medical industry, we want to make sure we're getting paid in the medical industry. That's big around here. Maybe you should focus and making sure that we're getting the folks inside the medical industry and understanding how profitable it is, that it actually is, and it can be. But technology is key. STEM programs for our kids right now is key, very important. But we have to not sit back, and because a lot of stuff we don't know that is good for us, and how, which way the technology, the way that they're keeping us, we have no media outlets or no connections with media and things like that, or getting information through the community to find out what's going on. How are we going to know? You know what I mean? They got us all mixed up and we can't find out what, you know what I mean? We're not aware of a lot of stuff.
There's no free media, which is part of what we're doing here at New Jersey Revolution Radio, is trying to build media that's outside of that moneyed corporate interest, you know, that reports on real stories. And
well, we have a couple of locally, especially with the African American community, the Touch and things like that, they just play music. There's no information going on being transferred.
But you also have a show.
But
as
I
well.
Also have a show, the Kevin Hall Show program on Friday nights on WOND. It's 8 to 10. And we talk about community issues, solutions. We don't have the solutions, but we want to bring up information and get the information out as much as we can. We try to promote and show people doing great work like Heather and some of the candidates and for different groups, organizations. Any organization that's doing something in the community, we like to get their information out and expose them as much as we can with our audience. And we have a wide audience. You know, OND is a conservative station.
Oh, it definitely is.
And so, yeah.
You are a voice in the wilderness at WOND.
And, you know, we have, you know, we on Friday nights, 8 to 10, it's late night, and to have the type of audience and people tuning in for politics and local information and perspective, we do pretty good. And we could do better. We're starting to do Facebook Live when we do it now. I would love to be on 5 days a week. I think we'd be more effective. I would be able to make more, get advertisements and things like that would be more profitable for me, you know, for people to sell our brand 5 days a week versus one night a week. So, like you said, getting into this podcasting and things like that is the next move. Facebook Live, that's the next move for us to try to do something along those lines and create our own station, create our own voice, and that's something that we need to do. There's no lines of communication. We need to create a platform that people know where to go to when they want information and want to hear about information locally and as far as nationally, what's going on in the world, entertainment. I did a boxing match this weekend. One of the events that we did our last week's show was on a Showboat has a boxing match, bringing boxing back to Atlantic City. I think it's very important that we bring those types of events back. Service industry, everyone makes out well when the people are in town floating around on the boardwalk and things like that, taking in the events, staying in the hotels, and there's jobs and opportunity for people. And we need that right now. The people were hurting here.
Yeah, it's definitely, things need to change. So part of you reaching that goal is you've started a nonprofit organization, Building Blocks International. Could you tell me a little bit about what that is?
Building Block International. It was an organization that we did a couple of years ago. We tried to do a minority entrepreneurship program. We started off with maybe 10 or 12 people that showed up. And it was basically, while I was trying to build the nonprofit, you know, I was running into these obstacles and brick walls and how to get it going and how to incorporate and do all these things like that. And I thought that there were many other people who want to start businesses in Atlantic City, minorities, but didn't know how to go about doing it. And what we could do is start a group up and share information with each other and bring in other business owners that could help guide us and things like that with information, with support. The Small Business Association, I met the lady over there and went and spoke with her, Ms. Carol Wadies. It's a good resource in Atlantic City Small Business Association. Carol Radies was real helpful, maybe utilizing her to bring maybe some of her groups and things like that to some of our meetings, or bring our meetings to her and with that particular group. We started off with some good meetings, and then we faltered a little bit. The organization, still we weren't organized the way that we needed to be, but we're back. We got our paperwork and everything straight now. And so our new initiative, I definitely want to still go back to entrepreneurship, because that need is still very much one that we need in our community. But we wanted to touch on something that we can jump onto right now that's a very touching to me. A friend of mine wanted to do a book drive this summer, and I was already on this already with literacy. And I think that was very important. Me and myself and Kevin Hall, the host of the show that I do on Friday night, Kevin talks about going to high school and not being able to read. And if you hear Kevin now, you know he's a wordsmith.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But he was illiterate. He was afraid to read, and all the little tricks and different things he tried to do in order to keep cover,
to hide it
up until his junior year in high school before he started, you know what I mean, learning how to read and getting studying and doing what he had to do in order to get better. You know, we went from one thing to a passion for him, and once he got it. And myself, I felt like learning reading was difficult, reading and comprehending, and how difficult it was for me. And for me, you know, now it's just the same thing. Like, I have to read things 2 and 3 times to comprehend what I'm reading, and it might take me slower. You know, I'm not a fast reader. I might have to read it. You know, you ain't not done yet? No, let me read it again. I read it 3 times, but I didn't understand it yet. But I'm gonna understand it when I'm done.
Right. Once you know, get it, then you're very gifted with, you know, getting your point out there.
Right. Like, so
it's definitely a gift that you have. So
right,
those struggles have become gifts for both you and Kevin.
So yes, and how just educational wise, how much I know how much I didn't work. Mm-hmm. Imagine where, you know what I mean, some of the difficulties maybe I might not have if I had put in the work and the studies and did some of the things that I was supposed to do. And I want to get a kid. I know how important that is to get it early.
Right. Who knows where you could be right now.
You know,
And if the earlier you get intervention, the better the outcome will
always
be.
And so I didn't get my intervention until I got to college.
Right.
And still I was not... Right. What I was gifted at is what I'm doing right now.
So, yeah, if you've gotten that intervention in, like, kindergarten.
Talking, that's what I was gifted at. But the educational, you know, I was surprised that I was able to retain a lot of the stuff. It pops up now in situations, things from college, and I was a horrible student. I wasn't a good student at all. But I guess when I was in class... It sunk in. I don't know, you know, what happened, because things would come up now in different situations from class. I'm like, man, imagine if I was in class when I was supposed to be. Oh man. And, you know, and some of the stuff that I retain now and that I use as resources for different things, I find so funny.
But yeah, it sounds like a great organization that you really can get to these people and let so that everyone can reach their full potential.
Well, we want to build it to be able to do that ultimately. You know, there's a lot of things that could be done in the city.
Is there a way people can reach out to you if they want to help you?
Oh, yeah. HenryHankGreen@gmail.com. You can reach out to me about Building Blocks International. It's community development. We're looking for ideas and leaders. We want to create leaders. I'm not the only voice. I don't believe I'm a only voice. I think I'm just the spark. I want to be the spark. You know what I mean? That lights...
The bonfire.
Yeah. That lights someone else that be able to take the initiative to move it forward. I believe women are the future to everything. You know, politics and businesses. You know, they're so diverse in the way that they have to... The strength that they have is different. You know, the power of a woman is different. And... I believe that's our future right there. You better be able to have all the qualities of a woman to be able, you know, that they have to look at the world and be able to be strong enough and also have enough compassion and, you know, that balance in between and to move people forward and to see different sides of things, you know. And I think that women is in that whole spectrum. They cover that whole spectrum. You know, you might hear me, I'm a male, you know, I'm still a man. I might still have male chauvinistic ways just because I'm a male and I was born.
That's just part of society.
To be that way. But I know the power of women, and definitely black women. They like, you know, they like, they got the double X on them. You know, you got all women who have that strength and have that vision, but minorities and black women, man. It's something about the power that they have that they have to have in order to navigate, you know, somebody to be the supporter, the comforter, the breadwinner, and all those things that they are. And, you know, the stronger, you know, just appreciate them. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? You appreciate them, appreciate what they do. I respect what they do. You know, but I'm still a man. You know, I have to throw that in there because I don't sound like, you know, you know, I'm not a man. And, oh, Hank, I'm still a man now. Don't hold me to all of these different...
As you said, no one's perfect.
No,
but, you know,
not at all. But I do.
If you're working on things, you know, like...
But that's... I do acknowledge and I do know that for a fact. And I believe that our future is in the hands of our women. I would love to see women... really more women run for office like Melissa did, Thomason did, and try to get some of these major seats and things like that in Atlantic City and everywhere else. I think that's the future. They could be any of those parties, but these women are going to step in and you're going to get better results out of them.
And although I'm not as connected to the Green Party anymore, if there are any women from Atlantic City who want to step up and run on the Green Party ticket, I will get you in touch with the people you need to get in touch with. That I will always support local women running, you know, and trying to build alternative voices and alternative power.
And I'm with, you know, that's what I'm for, you know, to have that opportunity. There's a time and there's a page. This movement is moving fast. And we have a lot of people around here. We all divided. And what we're doing is once we collectively, we come together, that movement is going to, you know. There's power there. And the women shouldn't be in the background.
No one should be in the background.
You know what I mean?
We should all be on the front line together.
You know what I mean? Together. And so, you know, it just seemed like that's how it has been. But, you know, it's very encouraging, Sheila Oliver and with the governor and some of these other ladies that are in power. We're going to see, you know, what's going to happen. I actually, you know, at first with Miss Oliver, I didn't know exactly what to expect. And, you know, I'm optimistic right now. I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic on what's going to happen and the job that she's going to do. And I'm just going to hopefully, you know, be supportive and see if we can get some things done. I think she just need to hear the people's voice and their perspective. And the narrative, they don't get a chance to actually hear the people's narrative. They're talking to the people, their comrades, the people, their associates, and on that level. And they don't get a chance to hear the people itself. And I think that if she hears the people's views and some of their perspectives locally, get a chance to hear more of them, she'll be in line to really work with them on some of their topics, issues, and concerns.
And you also had, you're very busy, you have one more organization you're also involved with, the Obsidian Elite Investment Association.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about that, which sounds like an awesome organization?
Well, it's legalized adult use cannabis. A friend of mine, Laquae Jewell, introduced me to Obsidian Elite as an investment firm, but they do more than just investment. They're doing the civil rights part of it, the educational part of it, the economic part of it. They want to make sure people educate, make sure people are aware of the opportunities and the possibilities. And with their education part of it has been going through New Jersey up and down with talking to people, letting them know about the legislation, bringing different people that are part of the different industries. I've been to several different meetings with some of them in Newark and things like that with Mayor Ross Barak and some of the other Assemblyman Holly, a lot of the other legislators, minority legislators and things like that were at some of these meetings and where we're discussing the judicial part of it, the social part of it, and you know, there's a lot of information that they think that the community needs to be aware of before this happens. And what they want to do is make sure that minority folks get a chance to take advantage of the opportunities that are coming with marijuana. Being that, you know, a lot of so many African Americans have been incarcerated for marijuana, and now some white folks are going to come swoop in now and make money off of it while these people have been, you know, incarcerated and all the other injustices about it. And so they want to make sure that at least, you know, from those things that we least benefit from that. So there's many groups that's been involved. Obsidian Elite is one of the leaders connected to on many different levels. And you can get involved in their group and make investments and things like that. Maybe find out how to get started if you have the finances to actually own a dispensary, or there's so many different branches where there's money to be made, not just in the marijuana and the cultivating itself. There's so many different types of industries that, you know, security, transportation. There's so many different ways that this industry has been making money. You've seen so many of the top legislators in the country, Republicans, conservatives, change their mind about it. That's telling you a lot about, you know, I mean, the power and the money, and the money that's being made in all these other cities and things like that. And Obsidian Elite is at the forefront of that. And if you're interested in that, you know, you can contact Laquay Jewell or Tamisha Smith. It's their foundation. They've been doing a great job with that. They've been in the communities at clergies, talking to clergies in public forums. A lot of information, and he's made me a lot of, you know, aware of a lot of information, and introduced me to a lot of people in the business, like Leo Bridgewater. Leo Bridgewater was my ex-military vet that was with Governor Murphy, and when he signed the legislation to expand the medical marijuana mm-hmm. for different calls, and I guess for military and PST.
Right, post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Post-traumatic stress syndrome, right. And so, yeah, and things like that, and expanding that, and also he's advocating for percentage of minorities into the business itself. And they started off like 15%. He came on our show and they talked about it. And I talked to him recently and he said now it's up to 25% for minorities, that as far as that, they have to make sure that we have an opportunity to be in business and reap some of the benefits of the industry.
Absolutely.
And so it's very important that they do so. But on the counter of that, there was some other things that was going on. There's some oppositions from other places. Senator Rice from Newark, and another group came to Atlantic City, and they had a forum that was on the books. And the forum was about marijuana and the negative aspects of it. And I'm an advocate for marijuana. I'm an advocate for us getting in and things like that. But, you know, after the forum, there was several people that were speaking there. And it did make me think about the topic and how important it is, and how in our communities we already have the liquor stores and cigarettes and the signs and the posters and, you know, and things like that, and promoting, you know, I mean, cigarettes and marijuana and things like that. You know, I mean, it's not about marijuana, cigarettes, alcohol and stuff like that. And how, again, now we have a new drug that we have in our community that we be posting all around for our kids to see everywhere, and it's okay to do these particular things. And we know, you know, I mean, the history of what's going on up down the road now with cigarettes and alcohol, and yet it's legal and things like that. And it just really made me, and how it's stuck and put into our communities in so rampant. And now we all hooked on these things, and, you know, and so it made me think about, a young man was talking about it. He was from Washington, D.C. And he was talking about how in his community he had a dispensary. Now they had legalized, they're legal in Washington, D.C. And now they got pictures and advertisement, not just with marijuana, I mean, with cigarettes and alcohol, also marijuana now, and all this stuff, you know, pasted all over the place. And then this was, you know, it just was sad to think about that. And it just made me think ahead of, like, you know, we really have to do some thinking about that. How do we deal with this industry? And that is a fact. And we
don't, how do you make it serve your community, not imprison your community?
Absolutely. How do you make that transition where, because at the end of the day, it's too much money involved, and they're going to legalize it, and they're going to make that money regardless that what we think.
Right, but it's just going to be these wealthy white capitalist class right. coming in, when it's the minority populations that have been giving up years of their life and being in jail for years and paving the way, the groundwork for all of what's, you know, these people to swoop in and take the money now that, you know, all the hard work's right. been done. But
so do we sit by and say, oh, well, it's not right, and then just let them come in and do that and take all of the business? You know, it's a catch-22, it's hard. But I would say in Atlantic City, I think that we have to be proactive in setting legislation before ahead of time to how we want marijuana to be in our city.
Right. It's a brand new industry. You can design whatever you want it to be at this point in time.
Right.
So that's why you need the community and the people that are going to be affected by it making that legislation.
And exactly. And one of the things right now we want to advocate, I know this is what I'm going to be advocating for, and I hope other people get on the bandwagon, that if there is any legalization of marijuana, we want it to be all in a tourism district, nothing in the communities. No, nothing on other side of Atlantic Avenue. All marijuana, anything dealing with marijuana, is only in the tourism district. If you want your marijuana, you gotta go over there. You know,
right.
Not to have it in our community. Something else that's directly stashed in our community, at all. And so we can make residents can force council to make to get ahead of the curve. We don't want a business just to say, well, all right, it's legal. Now we can just plop down in Atlantic City. I want to open a business right here in Back Maryland. I want to open the business here on the West Side. I want to open the business here in Venice Park. I want to open one right here on you know, over here by New York Avenue, by the Village. What, you know, just wherever I want to put them at, I want to put this type of thing here. I want to put this type of thing. Nah.
If they're trying to draw in tourists for the marijuana industry, put it in the tourist district.
Put it in the tourist district and let that be the only place where that's going on at.
Right. And use the money to help the community.
To help communities. Because we're going to have to continue to educate with the money. That's another thing. The money for it, you know. How will that be utilized? Will it be utilized just for the money for the taxes there? Can we tax it also? Have our own incubator so we can use it for whatever industry? And, you know, I'm quite sure there's something along the... I mean, those are questions to be asked and opportunities for us to talk about those things and see, can we get creative? They find creative ways to make things stick that they do in the government to circumvent certain things. And I'm quite sure if we get some smart people in the room, we'll be able to come up with ways to make that benefit right then and now for Atlantic City.
Absolutely.
And industry. We can have all kind of industries throughout the tourism district. You know what I mean? Except still, you know, in the tourism, only in the tourism district. And there might be modifications to that. We might say, all right, some of the tourism district goes over here. Does that include, we have to be ahead of the curve and get out front of this and think about these things and have these topics and these discussions. And,
yeah, I think what you're saying is absolutely right on, like 100%. I support everything you're saying that, you know, design this however you want. Don't let people come in and tell you how this is going to be. Design right. Exactly what you want it to be.
Right. And we can do that. I think they have the, you know, sometimes I don't think our legislators understand that before they even give it a shot or try or go whatever it is. Oh, we don't have no power and control. Oh, the state.
Right. Those are excuses.
You don't know what they're going to say or what their position is going to be until you have the conversation, and I think that's one of the problems is we have to change the narratives to what we want, you know, within our community and everything else. We have to change the narrative. The narrative continue to be led by people that are counterproductive to the community itself. They're leading the narrative. Like you see it on TV all day long. They're the narrative on some of these other radio shows or talk shows or whatever it is, it's the stuff that folks that are trying to keep you blind and mixed up want you to be talking about. We're not talking about the schools, racism in school, the issues with the young lady in Ventnor and things like that. Those things get swept under the rug.
By design.
You know.
Right, yeah. And
someone get defensive and say, you know, I just thought, you know, gets defensive and already backpedals and go right to the most ridiculous thing before you even have a conversation about the issue and the problem.
Right, yeah. So we've got to make sure that the community's voice is out there. And I think the work you're doing is amazing for that. And I'm so glad that I got the chance to have you on the show today. This has been an excellent conversation. And I would like you to come back whenever, anytime you want to do this, I'll come out here again and we'll record again.
Well, look, next time we're going to come and we're going to do a video live, and it's going to be with, you know, on my page also.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, I'll come to you next time.
Yeah, we could come back again.
We'll keep this conversation going.
I'll bring you up on the building blocks in the initiative with the literacy program.
Yeah,
and
that's
there's some
huge,
people that I'm trying to reach out to get things started. The problem is space. You know, there's there's no space, but ain't nothing going on.
Yep.
I don't get it. You know, the city of Atlantic City, there's no space nowhere. No one got space, or you got these rules and laws and insurances and different things like that. But at the same time, there's nothing going on nowhere.
Right. If something's not working, just change what you're doing and make it work, you know?
I don't know.
Lack of imagination on people, you know?
We have resources in Atlantic City. We have places that are sitting dormant for people that would like to utilize them, and they're not being utilized. We have two facilities in Atlantic City that's not being utilized. Kids don't even get a chance to utilize it. They don't have no place to go on the weekends and gyms or, you know,
Community centers.
That's one of the initiatives of CRETA from the door that we should have, community centers. You know, where can the people go outside of, they got PAL and they got Boys and Girls Club, and they're not even open on the weekend. What are the children doing?
Right, yeah.
What do they have to do? What other programs are going on around there? That, you know, there's some, but there's no communication. Back to communication again.
Yep.
How do they know if something's going on? If you're on one part of town, or if you're not in this group, or if you're over here. I grew up, this is the crazy part, it's still like this in Atlantic City. I grew up in the inlet in Atlantic City and never knew there was Dolphin football. They was playing junior Dolphin football my whole life.
Right, and it's so
junior
close.
Junior league, you know? It was right around the corner. I didn't know the PAL was up the street. I lived right around the corner. I didn't know what they did at the PAL, or, you know, no one. I didn't know.
Yep, and so we've got to build these networks, and I think it's going to happen. I think as long as we have passionate people trying to do this, and we can get people the support they need, it's going to happen.
Well, I'm with you 100%. You can have me on here anytime. And, you know, I could be a recurring voice.
Absolutely. I would love you to be on.
Anytime you guys need me. That's not a problem. I think that what we have to cross network, you know what I mean, our groups and things that we're doing, because it's the same thing, it's the same work. You know, from the day we met, we already knew that we was...
Right. You know, we knew we were in sync with what we were trying to do.
And I appreciate that, to knowing there was more folks out there. I needed that at the time. Because I wasn't feeling it, you know. You don't feel the support sometimes, you know, that you need to have when you're standing alone. And that's exactly what happens. You'd be standing alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so to get to have more beautiful people with the same passion, who understood how it can be and had empathy and compassion for that, I appreciate it.
And I appreciate you. Well, thank you, my listeners, for joining today and hearing all the wise words of Mr. Henry Green. And try to support him. Get out there. Help his initiatives in any ways that you can. And if you like what you hear here on New Jersey Revolution Radio, reach out to us, njrevolutionradio.com. You know, we need to help keeping the lights on. No one's making money off this yet. Anything you can donate. We have Patreon. You can donate on the website. You can donate through PayPal. And don't forget, you can follow us on Stitcher, on Google Play, and on SoundCloud. And the future's yours to create. Go out there and create it.